It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7. We're going to begin reading with verse 9. And so while you open your Bibles, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to send us an email, that would be at parkviewbible@gmail.com. And if you'd like to visit our website, it would be parkviewbiblechurch.org. And again, the email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com. And the other is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org is our website. And so please visit that website. We have many messages, Bible studies, our Constitution, and the plan of salvation is there. So please visit that site. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Revelation chapter 7, beginning to read with verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds of people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest? And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a wonderful text this morning, scripture this morning. Glad that you've joined us to read it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer to start the study. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can enjoy this time. It's just such a privilege to study your precious word and to proclaim it. So please now just guide and lead us as we go through this study. This is going to be the most horrible time, most terrible time up on the earth during this tribulation period. And so please, dear Lord, I just ask that these studies, as we open your word, that Father, you're able to direct and the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts and will show them, dear Father, that they're a sinner, that they're lost. And then that they'll realize and recognize that there is a Savior, and that they will receive Jesus as their Savior. Please today, Lord, that be just that it happened today. Today is the day of salvation. And if they will believe, and truly believe in their heart, in the Lord Jesus, they will not have to see this. They will not have to be a part of this. Now, Father, we know that the tribulation, before it comes, will be the rapture of the church. And we know that all this could come anytime. So please, dear Lord, just prepare our hearts and make us ready for your return to come and to get us. And so just please, Lord, show our bodies, our lives, that we need to be serving you and praising you and honoring you as these do in this scripture text. And so please guide and lead us now today and touch all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked in the past study at all the seals, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And as we got to the sixth now, and prior to the seventh, and the seventh seal will be opened when we come to the eighth chapter. So we're going to have a chapter here in the middle that's kind of an interlude, as we talked before. And what is taking place right here, God is going to call out 144,000 Pauls, 144,000 of the greatest evangelists of the gospel that has ever walked upon this earth. And the only one that would have ever surpassed these 144,000 would be the Lord Jesus himself when he was here upon this earth proclaiming his word. We have Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin, each having 12,000. God will sort those back out, even though they're all seem to be intermingled and intermixed. There will be 12,000 from each one of these families, each one of these tribes. Isn't it something that the tribe of Judah is listed first? Of course, that's where our Savior came from. And so as we look at these families before, they would always be listed by age, not by any other form. And here we find that Judah is listed first. These 144,000 will preach the true gospel, and the statements are going to be made as the kingdom is coming. We talked about that. Now is the grace, the age of grace, the gospel is presented. But during this time, the kingdom is coming, and so prepare to meet the king. And it may not be their king if they're not born again and saved, but that will be their calling, is the kingdom is coming. So you prepare to meet the king, the great king, God himself. And so as we look now at these verses in chapter 9, in verse 9, chapter 7, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. So after these evangelists, these great evangelists, and they will not, they're sealed, no man can touch them, and different than today, they have not left the Word of God. We have so many today that leave and add to or take away from the Word of God as it pleases them. These men will not change the truth, the Word of God. They will stand on it, and they will preach it day and night. They will preach it, and millions, multitudes, the Scripture says here, will be saved as a result. And the number of which will be saved, this is during the tribulation period, that will be saved, which no man could number, the ninth verse says, of all nations, kindreds, and peoples, and tongues. All these that were saved now during this time, during this seven-year tribulation, because of these 144,000 evangelists, they were saved. The Word of God was proclaimed. You see what happens when the truth is proclaimed? Even though evil has such a full reign during this time, and yet when the truth is proclaimed, people are saved. And that's the problem today. The truth is not proclaimed. No one wants to hear the truth, and so no one preaches the truth because it isn't liked. It isn't politically correct. And so many stay away from preaching the Word of God, that saying you're a sinner, you're lost, and the perverted lifestyles that we have today that so many are accepting is not accepted by the Word of God and should not be accepted by the church. And yet in many cases the churches are inviting them in, even to the level of being their pastor or their leaders of the church. They're welcome to come to repent and turn from their wicked ways unto the living God, the Lord Jesus. Believe in Jesus Christ, and you will change your ways. Multitudes will turn, will change their ways, and recognize the kingdom of God is at hand because of the preaching of the truth of these 144,000. This number that it talks about here that cannot be numbered takes in all the peoples of all the world. God has set before the Church of Philadelphia an open door. You can see that back in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Let's go back there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. You see where the power is? That little church of Philadelphia did just that. We are to evangelize the world. That's our purpose. That's our calling. And it's done through the preaching of the gospel, not through social activities, but through the preaching of the gospel. That's the purpose of the church, the calling of the church. It is unreal today what is going on in our churches other than preaching the gospel. All kinds of social activities. All kinds of social activities. And, oh, it's so wonderful for all of us to get together. That the Word of God doesn't tell us that. The Word of God does not tell us that. We are to separate ourselves. We are to stand with our God and proclaim His precious word with love, desiring that all would be saved. This preaching of the gospel, we have had and have right now the greatest opportunity in all times to preach the gospel. We have so many means of doing that. We have the internet. We have the means as the radio here to be able to broadcast the gospel. We can tell so many folks today. We can travel with such ease that they couldn't do just a few years ago. And so for us to reach into all parts of the world with the gospel should be a very strong possibility. We should do that. We should set to do that, to take the Word of God. And between the radio and the internet, we, with the church that we have here, we have reached the gospel around the world. And what an opportunity to get the truth, the gospel, out. The problem is that the church has failed, because it has gotten involved with all kinds of social activities, and they have left the truth, the Word of God. And by leaving the Word of God, you need these social activities, otherwise there's nobody attends. But you see, if you preach the truth, you don't need the social activities, because you'll come together as a family, desire to be together. You don't have to have these parties and other activities to bring people together. You need the gospel, the Holy Spirit is the unity, the one that holds the church together in unity and in joy. And it's exciting, so exciting, to have the family come together and hear the Word of God and enjoy it and fellowship over the Word of God and fellowship together. That's the purpose. And then we leave the local gathering and we go out into the harvest fields where we work, where we live, and that's where we're to share the gospel with an example of our lives and with the words we speak. These 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe did just that. But again, the devil has tricked the church into going into the social, more of a country club attitude, so people will be more comfortable. Come as you are. You come as you are, you're going to leave as you were. Anytime, any place tells you, come as you are, please stay away. You need to come reverencing the Lord, and that means you come wearing your best. Now, if your best is some old jeans, wonderful. But if you get all dressed up to go out on the town on Saturday night and you come looking like a slob on Sunday morning, I can tell you right here and now who your God is. And that's the devil. It's that simple. Now, the church has failed. Not because God has not empowered us, but because we have failed to stay with the Word of God, the truth. Stay with the King James. Stay with this precious Scripture and preach it. The Jews before us failed as well. They went all into the legalism. Well, so has many churches today. They're bound by the law, not the freedom of grace that we have. And so it's kind of a mixture today of socialism and law. And the Jews, they went into their traditions and their laws, and instead of evangelizing and taking the Savior out to a lost and dying world, they just kept it for themselves and continued to make it more and more strict so that no one would get saved. And today the Jews are in that position. An individual Jew could be saved by coming and believing in Jesus Christ, but by following their rules and laws, and it's the same with many, many churches today, by following their rules and laws, you will never be saved. Come by faith to Jesus and believe in Him. And if you truly believe in Jesus, you will not be going to that church that causes you to be bound by the law, that adds something as baptism or communion or something like that that you have to have in order to be saved. Those are laws of man, not of the Word of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. What's happening here is these folks are taking the Word of God out, these 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe, the truth, and multitudes are saved. We have the fulfillment of this. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom, remember we talked about the kingdom is come, and our king is coming, and so prepare to meet your king. To preach shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This scripture verse that we are looking at here in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, is that end. Only when all the world that's alive at that day has heard the Word of God, the gospel, that'll be fulfilled during the tribulation. We should have that goal today to reach as many as we can so they miss this tribulation. But during this horrible time, there will be the preaching of the gospel by this 144,000 proclaiming the kingdom is come. Now, this great multitude, as we look at them, we find that they are clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. They're going to come, this great multitude, they're going to come and they're going to stand before the throne, before the Lamb, and they're going to be clothed in white robes and have palms in their hands. Isn't that a beautiful, wonderful picture? They're going to cry with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." That is verse 10. "And cried with a loud voice, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Let's go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Please, the power of God unto salvation is believing in Jesus Christ. As we look at this 10th verse again, "Cried with a loud voice, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts which fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God. As we look now, "Cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." All the angels, the elders, the four creatures, fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God. Fell on their faces. This is all the angels. The elders, remember who they are? That's the church, the raptured church. The four creatures that praise Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all fell on their faces and worshiped God with this great multitude. Please notice that all praise and honor and worship, all adoration is directed to one, and that's to the Lamb. Why? Why? Because He is worthy. Because He is worthy. Crying, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to be unto our God forever and ever." They shouted for joy. Now, this shout for joy was not something that was unruly. It was not something that was done foolishly. It was done from the heart with joy as they saw their Savior, the one that has taken them out of this great tribulation period, the one that has taken their sins away, the one that has set them free. What a glorious and wonderful day. We need to praise our God. Sometimes we have both sides. We have an unruly service where they're trying to speak in tongues, which doesn't exist today. It's not one of the gifts today. Some believe that's of being filled with the Spirit. That's unruly foolishness. And, you know, some, they just are constantly shouting. Now, we need to have everything of God is organized and very, very calming and peaceful. The experience that folks have shared with me many times when they get in some of these services, they leave terrified, not of their God or of the sin, but of the people that they just witnessed yelling and screaming and jumping up and down. That's everything should be of peace and joy. Now, at the same time, we have the opposite side, that if an ambulance would show up and the EMTs would come into some of the services, they would immediately beginning to give them CPR, hoping that they could at least save some of them. So you see, we need that happy medium that God is pleased with. These know the Lord Jesus, so they shouted for joy. Now, to respond to our Lord, truly of our Lord, is wonderful and is needed and is proper. They shouted praise. They cried, they shouted in a way of rejoicing. Amen. That work is finished. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. We've just left in the fifth seal, if you remember, those that are under the altar that were martyred because of their stand for the Word of God and their testimony, their words and their lives. Not one of these that were redeemed were silent. They weren't crying how long. They were in the presence of the Lord, and they were praising Him and honoring Him. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. The redeemed were praising with such excitement because they realized and recognized that their struggles were over. Their trials were gone. Their pains had left. Oh, what a glorious day. And especially these that were in the tribulation period. What they saw and what they witnessed. And then God gave them one more chance with this 144,000 coming. You have a chance today if you're listening. I hope the Spirit of God's calling on you. And I hope that you respond and accept the Lord Jesus. You see, it's only fitting that this countless multitude should break out in unity and cry the praises of God and of the Lamb. One of the elders, it says in verse 13, answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. One of the elders asked the who, what, and where question. And the answer came quickly. These are those that were saved during the reign of the Antichrist. And boy, it seems like that we've got to be getting close to that time for the mess that things are in today. They were made white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Churches today not only have left the gospel, but long before they left the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, they also forgot to preach about His precious saving blood. Please stand for the Lord Jesus and His precious blood. Made white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood, my dear friend, started flowing back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, when the promise was given. And His flowing down through the ages to this day. You know, we need to enjoy those scripture verses. And let's see, we've just got a couple of seconds left here. Let's see if we can read that chapter back in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. We have God's plan, the shedding of blood, the innocent sacrifice giving their life, and God taking care of it. Genesis 3:15 is the first gospel. Genesis 3:21 is the first presentation of that gospel. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?